Donna, do you need some time to get set up? Are you ready to roll? Just give us a second to set up. Okay.
You've got it.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the council, under tab 5, you'll find a variety of information that the hearing committee has been working on. The goal of today is to consider additional ABC control rule alternatives that were proposed by Earth Justice for the 2013-2015 specifications, and to also approve a range of alternatives for accountability measures to be analyzed in the 2013 to 2015 specifications. There's essentially 10 items within that part of your briefing document. Probably the most important things for you to pull out would be the draft discussion document, our November 7th hearing committee meeting summary, and the advisory panel report, which occurred the day before, and the presentation that Lori will be giving here, but also some other items here. I guess we will have some motions for you to consider here, but first I'd like to have Lori provide an overview of what we've been working on since the last council meeting here. And with that, if Lori, if you could take it away.
Okay, thank you. You should have copies of my presentation slides in your materials as well. I'm going to run through the presentation as quickly as possible, and most of the presentation addresses the elements of the draft discussion document, which is the major reference document for this meeting. Just to catch you up very quickly on where we are with the development of the hearing specifications, we started this process in June with a benchmark stock assessment for hearing through SAWSARC 54. The PDT met shortly following the assessment results and started putting together information for the Scientific and Statistical Committee. If you recall, the SSC met in September to review the assessment results and the PDT information and to make some recommendations regarding the specification of acceptable biological catch, ABC, for the next specs package. The committee met jointly with the ASMFC section in September to review this information, and we brought this forward to the council at the September council meeting. At the September council meeting, this council selected a preferred alternative for acceptable biological catch, ABC, and also addressed the specification of management uncertainty. And the council also approved two alternatives to be considered for accountability measures. So that's where we are as of now. This next slide is for your reference. This is the current fishery specifications, including the 2012 allocations. So these are the specs that we are now adjusting for 2013-15. The fishing year starts on January 1st, so until this specifications package is implemented sometime next year, the 2012 specifications will roll over, and these are the numbers on this slide. To quickly summarize the assessment, the benchmark stock assessment was SAWSARC 54 this June. The assessment came out with new reference points that are shown in this table in the right-hand column. and they are significantly different from the previous assessment, which was the track assessment in 2009. There's some reasons that I'll get into a little bit in this presentation on why they're different. Ultimately, the 2011 stock status was evaluated, and the stock is not overfished. It is, in fact, rebuilt. It is well above the target biomass level, and overfishing is not occurring. In 2011, fishing mortality was about half of FMSY. So, again, just reviewing a little bit, when the SSC met in September, the SSC made some recommendations regarding ABC, acceptable biological catch, and the ABC control rule for the upcoming specifications package. The ABC control rule is a specified approach to setting ABC for the stock as a function of scientific uncertainty. This is the... It is mandated that this recommendation come from the SSC. So in September, the SSC reviewed the information provided and supported both approaches outlined by the Herring PDT for setting ABC and the ABC control rule from 2013 to 15. There was a constant catch approach and a 75% MSY approach. Sorry, 75% FMSY. The SSC concluded that because of the status of the stock, both of those approaches are equivalent from a biological perspective for the next 3 years anyway. They are both projected to result in similar biomass values by the third year. So the SSC essentially endorsed both approaches for the council, and if you recall at the September council meeting, the council voted for the constant catch alternative to be the preferred alternative for ABC. So what you'll see in the document right now, we have three alternatives. Alternative one is no action. Alternative two is the constant catch, which is the preferred alternative. And alternative three is 75% FMSY. The table here on this slide provide you with the specifications based on the preferred alternative, including the specification of management uncertainty that this council approved in September at 6,200 tons. So with the constant catch ABC alternative, you end up, after deducting management uncertainty, with a stock-wide ACL of 107,800. So as we go through the specifications process and develop the options for distributing that ACL among the management areas, we are working under the preferred alternative, that being the constant catch approach. So now the question has been raised, as we make our way through the specs process, do we want to consider additional ABC alternatives? We did receive correspondence on October 8th from Earth Justice. This correspondence is in your binders. And in the correspondence, the Earth Justice requests that the council consider a reasonable range of alternative ABC control rules in the specifications packet, as per the amendment for lawsuit and court order. The court order did mandate that as part of the 2013 to 15 specifications package, the council consider a full range of alternatives for ABC, at least one of which would be based on the best available science for ABC control rules for other forage fish. Having adopted the constant catch approach and the 75% FMSY approach, Earth Justice submitted this correspondence requesting that the council consider additional alternatives based on recent scientific studies for forage fish. There are two alternatives proposed for consideration in the Earth Justice letter. And the letter also includes a request for consideration of more alternatives for accountability measures, which is also part of the court order for the Amendment 4 lawsuit. So briefly, in the Earth Justice letter, as I mentioned, there are two alternatives proposed for consideration. Both are based on recent scientific studies for forage fish and control rules that have been developed for other forage fish. The first one is called, we're calling it the Lenfest Hockey Stick Harvest Control Rule. This was developed through the Lenfest Conference And this control rule, there's a diagram in the letter. When you look at it on a graph, it looks like a hockey stick. But essentially what this control rule does is it sets a very conservative target fishing mortality when your stock biomass is above a certain level and you fish at that conservative level. That fishing mortality level then declines as stock biomass declines, until you get to a cutoff biomass level. And when you get to the cutoff biomass level, there's no more fishing. So this approach essentially applies a target, conservative target fishing mortality that changes as a function of stock biomass. The second approach is what we're calling the Pacific Coast Control Rule. This is a strategy that's been adopted by the Pacific Management Council. This strategy is a little bit different. You set a conservative target F, but you just keep the target F the same until your biomass declines to a cutoff level, at which point you stop fishing. The F is set conservatively. There's a formula that's applied that specifically uses an additional buffer to account for forage and ecosystem considerations, in addition to buffers for scientific uncertainty. So in anticipation of this meeting, the Herring PDT did go ahead and take a look at these two alternatives. Relative to the specifications package, these are requests for additional alternatives in the specs package, which really is, it's to address 2013-15. What the PDT essentially concluded, there's a PDT report in the binder. The PDT supports consideration of these two alternatives, but we view them as long-term management strategies that both require further evaluation for herring. And as part of that, the PDT would support evaluating other approaches for forage fish as well, not just these two. One of the main points that I think is discussed in the PDT report is that both of these approaches are based on stock assessments that use a static natural mortality rate, just a general assumption about natural mortality, just like we do with most of our species. SAW 54, however, treated natural mortality for herring quite differently and used a time and age-varying natural mortality to account for predation and consumption. And that's why you see, going back to that slide with the resulting reference points, you see a huge difference in the reference points between Track 2009 and SAW 54. Track 2009 uses static natural mortality. SAW 54 uses the time and age-varying natural mortality and takes out a lot of mortality due to predation because of that. So you end up with hugely different reference points. So one of the things that the PDT talked about with these two approaches is that these two approaches, the reference points, your cutoff biomass levels, your target fishing mortality rate, those all may be very different if you feed into the model assessments that use time-varying M versus a static M. You might see a lot of big differences, and that's something that needs to be explored further. The PDT is not comfortable just taking one of these two approaches and adopting it for the herring fishery without going through the process of developing the appropriate reference points and reviewing the long-term strategies. However, the PDT did say that you can achieve the same thing in 2013-15 as these two control rules do. If you want to adopt an ABC or an ABC control rule that's based on these approaches for 2013-15, you're essentially looking at fishing at about 50% FMSY. That's going to get you similar results to what you would see under these two control rules if you support taking a more conservative short-term approach to further account for forage and ecosystem beyond what's already been accounted for in the assessment. So the PDT suggests that long-term management strategies be evaluated through an amendment. However, short-term results can certainly be achieved through the specifications by adopting considering one of these alternatives or both of them and adopting an ABC approach that achieves what these alternatives would do in the short term. Adopting one of these control rules for the fishery requires a lot more evaluation and kind of gets back to what the SSC was saying when they made their comments at the September council meeting, which is this council needs to ultimately decide how to approach the long-term management of the herring fishery. Are we going to approach it like we do other species with traditional MSY-based reference points and manage like we do with other species, or are we going to manage the species like a forage species and use a different harvest strategy and a different control rule? Those are long-term decisions that need to be dealt with in a much more comprehensive manner. So the PDT at this point recommends that if these two alternatives are going to be considered, they be forwarded to the SSC for some consideration relative to what the SSC has already endorsed for the next 3 years. And then we move forward finishing the specs package and deciding long-term management issues through a more comprehensive action. So, I think my thing just died. Can you hit my slide? Oop, did I do that? Am I doing that? I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. Technology. Having reviewed these at the hearing committee last week, the committee did ultimately pass a motion that this council will consider to forward to the SSC the Lenfest hockey stick harvest control rule for evaluation and possible inclusion in the specifications document. I would just ask that when we consider this motion, we just take out the word possible. But we can get back to that. So the committee, recognizing the court order and the mandate from the court to consider at least one alternative that's based on a forage fish, in an attempt to not delay the development of the specifications, is recommending that one of these two alternatives move forward for further consideration. So as I mentioned, once you determine ADC, you deduct management uncertainty, and you get your stock-wide ACL. This is just a repeat of that slide again, because we're going to get into the ACL now. And having as many alternatives for ABC as we may have, we still have a preferred alternative. And our preferred alternative is the constant catch approach. So the stock-wide ACL is based on the preferred alternative, and the management area ACLs are based on dividing up this stock-wide ACL. So, as you know, herring is assessed as one stock complex, but we all recognize that there are multiple stock components that mix seasonally. The inshore Gulf of Maine stock component is also caught in the New Brunswick weir fishery. So we do set one stock-wide ACL and divide that into four management areas. The four management areas are depicted in this figure here, Area 1 being the inshore and offshore Gulf of Maine, 1A and 1B, Area 2 being Southern New England, and Area 3 being Georges Bank. In terms of dividing the ACL into the management area ACLs, the committee is working on this. The committee and the advisors worked together last week to develop several options that will be further analyzed. The complex is not overfished, and overfishing is not occurring. We do not have separate reference points or assessments for the individual stock components, so we cannot evaluate stock status or fishing mortality and things like that on the different stock components. We have management areas in order to spread the catch and the fishery out throughout the range to ensure that one or more stock components isn't fished only or exclusively. So the committee and the advisors are working on the options. I think we have five options right now. We're not going to go through the details of the options today, but regarding some of the details, the committee is recommending that we allow for seasonal splitting on some of the quotas. We do not have a mechanism in the herring plan to allow seasonal splits. So I think everybody thinks this is probably a good idea in some ways to try to manage the pace of the fishery and to improve catch monitoring. So We're going to have to, if the council wants to consider seasonal splits, we're going to have to do a concurrent framework adjustment with the specifications package in order to implement the provision to allow for splits. So the committee discussed that. If you look in your specs document at the sub-ACL options, we're not going to micromanage the committee's work today, so we're not going to be approving all of the options, but just to let you know where we are with the options, options 5 and 6 have been eliminated by the committee, and we did add a sub-option under option 4 that would allocate the quotas differently in 2013 versus 2014 and 15 because we're implementing the specs so late. And then the committee added options to split the Area 2 quota. This is a typo. It should be 67% January, February, 33% March through December. So we got problems in Area 2. The fishery closed this year in February. The committee's recommending a seasonal split to allow two-thirds of it January, February, and the remaining third for the rest of the fishing year. Area 1B, we've got some issues, so the committee is recommending to split that quota and not allow any of it to be taken until May. Again, in order to do this, we need to have a parallel framework adjustment to allow us to do this. The idea is that both of these actions would run on the same track, use the same documents, and then be submitted, reviewed, and implemented as two different actions so that the specs do not get delayed. So the Herring Committee motion that we're going to consider today is that the council initiate a framework to establish the mechanism to allow for seasonal splits as a parallel action with the specifications package. Excuse me, the other motion is that the council include consideration of allowing sub-ACL rollovers of up to 10% as part of that framework. So the committee recommends doing a framework first to allow us to do seasonal splitting and second to allow for up to 10% of an underage to be rolled over. So we'll get back to those issues, I'm sure. Let me just fly through the rest of this. The next section of the specs package are the accountability measures. This isn't really something that we usually do in specifications, but the Amendment 4 court order mandates that the council consider a wider range of alternatives for accountability measures as part of this specs package. The council approved two alternatives at the September meeting. The correspondence that we got from Earth Justice suggested that we consider a wider range. I went ahead and looked at what we had in Amendment 4, and what you see now in the draft specifications document is a range of alternatives that includes the two alternatives that were approved at the September Council meeting, as well as all of the considered but rejected alternatives from Amendment 4. So the Council today needs to approve the range of alternatives for further analysis so that we can make final decisions at the January meeting. So now we have in the document a pretty wide range of alternatives, and the committee reviewed these last week and made some recommendations. Alternative one is the no-action alternative, which maintains our current accountability measures. The current accountability measures include management area closure, closing the directed fishery in any area when 95% of the sub-ACL is projected to be reached. We also have an overage deduction for the sub-ACLs, where if there is an overage, in year one, we determine the final catch tally during year two and then deduct the overage in year three. We also have an accountability measure for the haddock catch cap that closes the directed herring fishery when the haddock catch cap is reached. We are not addressing the haddock catch cap accountability measure in the specs package, so that will remain unchanged under any of the alternatives that are considered or adopted. So the second alternative in the document includes adjustments for the accountability measure to close the directed fishery in a management area. Right now it closes when 95% is projected to be reached. There is an option to apply any of these alternatives to the stock-wide ACL. We currently do not have any accountability measures that affect the stock-wide ACL other than an overage payback. So under alternative two, there is an option that these would apply to the stock-wide ACL as well. 2A is the one that the committee, that the council approved in September. 2A would drop the threshold for closing an area to 92% if the stock is overfished or overfishing is occurring, and if the sub-ACL has been exceeded in at least one of the two preceding years. 2B would drop the threshold for closing the fishery to 92%. That's it. Across all of the areas, it would just change from 95 to 92. The committee discussed considering other thresholds but didn't recommend any. And we also discussed applying different thresholds to different management areas, but the advisors did not support that because of the complexity, and the committee generally agreed there wasn't a lot of support for that kind of an approach. So under this alternative, I think we're really just looking at changing the threshold to 92%. Alternative 2C would automatically change the trigger for closure if there's an overage in the previous years, by whatever the percent overage is. So if we have a year where we go to 104%, then in the following year, the fishery would close at 91% instead of 95. So whatever percentage over you are in one year, you close that percentage earlier in the next year. Alternative three is just a straight prohibition on possessing herring when you hit 100%. This could apply to the sub-ACLs or the total. This is actually an alternative that I think we've considered but rejected several times. But in the spirit of considering a wide range of alternatives, we'll consider it again. Alternative four is a somewhat different approach that was considered in Amendment 4 that we're talking about again, which is that we would establish a trigger for an in-season review by the regional administrator and allow for possible adjustments. So under this alternative, some threshold would be set, for example, 75%. And when 75% of a sub-ACL is reached, it would trigger a review by the regional administrator, and the regional administrator would look at the fishery, catch rates and the timing, and would determine whether or not adjustments are necessary to ensure that that sub-ACL is not exceeded. Under this alternative, the council needs to specify the trigger, 75% or some other percent, and also needs to specify what would happen if the regional administrator can make adjustments. For example, we'd have to say at 75%, the regional administrator can do an in-season review, and if the regional administrator determines that action is necessary, he or she can lower the trigger for closing the directed fishery by 5%. He or she can implement 4 days out of the fishery. Whatever it is that we're going to decide the regional administrator could do has to be clearly spelled out in this alternative so that it can be analyzed, and it needs to be hardwired into the plan. So this alternative needs a little bit more work if it's going to move forward. And we did discuss this at the committee meeting, and the committee wanted to potentially, some of the committee members wanted to potentially revisit this today, so we'll see if we get some of the details laid out. Alternative five are the adjustments to the overage payback provisions. 5A is the alternative that was approved by this council in September, which says that the pound-for-pound payback in a management area would only be required if the quota is exceeded by 5% or more when the stock is rebuilt and overfishing is not occurring, which is the current situation. Alternative 5B eliminates the current one-year lag time and just goes to a direct deduction in the following fishing year. Instead of doing a final catch tally that utilizes observer data and VTR data and looks at all of the data sources over the course of year two, we would, under this alternative, use NMSA's quota monitoring, the same methodology that they use to monitor the quotas on a day-to-day basis. And at the end of the fishing year, we would look at those numbers. And if there's overages, they would come off immediately in the following year. So you lose the one-year lag. You change the way you change the data source that you're using to determine the overages. So there's trade-offs to both, but it gets rid of the one-year lag and makes things a little more clear year to year in terms of the overages and the deductions. Alternative 5C is actually recommended for elimination by both the committee and supported by the advisors. This alternative would keep the one-year lag on the overage deduction, and during that year, the PDT would meet to review the overage amount of the overage and determine whether or not that overage had a negative biological impact. And then overage deductions would be determined based on the PDT recommendations. This alternative was eliminated in Amendment 4 and also recommended for elimination this time around by the advisors and the committee. So the committee motion is to consider all of the alternatives except for 5C in the specs package, recognizing that we need to come back and revisit alternative 4. That's about it. This is just a quick timeline table here. We are looking to try to make final decisions at the January council meeting. And in order to do that, what we need to do today is decide whether or not additional ABC alternatives are going to move forward for further analysis and approve the range of alternatives for the accountability measures. The PDT will then go do the analysis, and in January we'll get the committee and the advisors together to make final recommendations and bring them to the January council meeting. And that's it.
John, I'll go to you, and then I'm going to come back to you, Doug.
Lori, thanks for the report. So the council's not voting on these motions. You're not putting these motions before us today?
The motions that are in the presentation need to be voted today.
Well, they do.
The council's not selecting final measures today. We'll do final selection in January.
Okay. On the motion on the alternative or alternatives to the SSC that was towards the beginning, in your oral presentation you talked about, if I heard you correctly, perhaps sending both proposed alternatives to the SSC, the LenFest control rule and the Pacific Coast control rule. And the motion just mentions one alternative, the LenFest hockey stick going to the SSC. And so the question I have is it just one going to the SSC? And the suggestion I have is that it would seem to be a more robust argument that we are considering all alternatives if both go to the SSC. And I wonder if we could have both in there. And part of it is a legal argument, and I don't know if Gene wants to chip in on that as well. But I know you mentioned both, but the motion just mentions one.
Yes, and actually, if you look at the draft meeting summary from the Herring Committee meeting, there's a little more detail in there. The PDT looked at both and brought forward recommendations regarding both. The first motion the committee made was to forward the Pacific control rule, and then it was then substituted with the motion to forward the LenFest control rule. So I think from the committee's perspective, the PDT report sort of suggests that for the short term, both alternatives are going to get you to the same place, and that you're looking at essentially, if you know, 50% kind of MSY, FMSY under either alternative. I think the committee was responding primarily to the legal requirement to consider at least one alternative based on forage fish, and in an attempt to try not to bog down the specifications document and the analysis, recommended just one. And certainly other committee members can clarify. But I think that's why you see in the summary, it was almost like it one or the other. You know, the motion was first the Pacific and then went to this. And I think the idea was just to address the requirements without delaying or bogging down or hampering the process with too much analysis.
What I'd like to do is go back to Doug, and as the motions come up, I think under the motions, I'd like to have the questions that pertain to those be the ones that we discuss at this time. So I'm going to turn it back to Doug.
Okay, thank you. And if you want me to bring up the motions right now, I'll respond to that question, because that is motion number one.
It seems to me that we ought to discuss it as it relates to that motion.
And I will bring up, if there's no further other questions of Laurie, other than of the motions, then I'll...
Mary Beth, do you have one that's outside of the motions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a general question for clarification for Laurie, not specific to any motion or alternative, but... It's my understanding, Laurie, that some of these alternatives, we're not going to get into the details today, but at the same time in the future, as to specific numbers or strategies, would still have the flexibility to make some adjustments within the range of alternatives that we still are looking at. And I'm just asking the question to be sure that that's your understanding, that we do have that flexibility.
Yes.
John?
So back to the point... So is that a motion then on the, floor?
There are no motions on the floor yet.
All right. So when that motion is on the floor, I'd make a motion to amend, because it would be my intention to have both options considered by the SSC.
Doug.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to bring forward a motion from the committee that states the council will forward to the SSC the Lemphis Hockey Stick Harvest Control Rule for evaluation and possible inclusion in the specifications document. And if, since that doesn't need a second, could I just give an explanation to the regional administrator as to the rationale behind why the committee only put one forward?
Please.
It was a timing issue. We realized that under the court order, you have a certain product that needs to be provided to the judge, and where we've already delayed approval of these specifications to the January meeting, I believe it was the general consensus of our committee that analyzing both those rules would control rules that were brought forward would be analyzing two very similar things, and that we were just trying to manage the workload of it. But if the council as a whole feel that it's more important to have two go forward, that's fine too. But that was the committee's rationale behind only putting one forward, and we purposely put this one forward. As you see, there was a original motion to have the Pacific control rule put forward. We felt this was a better control rule for forage fish.
Discussion on the motion. Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, I thought in listening to Chris LaGault and the SSC the last time that before they were going to consider any forage-based ABC, they wanted the council to deliberate some policy on how important it is to protect forage so we could give them some terms of reference for determining an approach to address forage fish. And yet we're voting on sending ABC recommendations without the council debating how important forage is or what So I'm right in reading that. We're just going to say, without any direction, and they could say, well, first give us direction, and then we'll work on this.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, this gets into the whole, this is it's a long-term management issue. Do you want to manage this resource like you do every other fishery with a traditional MSY approach, and you set the ACLs and move forward, or do you want to take a step back and take a completely different approach and manage this as a forage fish? And that's essentially what the SSC was asking, because your long-term strategies are different. Your reference points are different, everything. So that's what these two alternatives get to, essentially, are these long-term strategies. The SSC in there was essentially saying, you're good to go for the next 3 years because of the status of this resource. You're rebuilt, you're at above carrying capacity, according to the assessment. And no matter what approach you take in 2013 to 15, you're going to be okay. You know, so that's, but the SSC said that's why we came forward with these two different rules, that the SSC said pick either one because you're fine for the next 3 years. And the other thing the SSC said is that maybe they aren't designed as forage-based control rules, but by default, you're there because of how natural mortality and forage was addressed in the assessment, and because of the status of the stock and where you are. You are there by default, if not design. So the SSC made that statement. They brought those recommendations forward, and then they said it would be helpful if next time around, when you develop your terms of reference, you take a step back and you look at how you want to manage this over the long term, so that we're not just doing three-year ABCs, and that we're actually, if you want to adopt a control rule that's forage-based, tell us next time so that we can take a much longer-term look at it and see, you know, do the kind of evaluation you want for that. But that's, we're doing specs right now for 3 years. So I mean, that was the issue. The problem is that we're under a court order to, you know, so that's how we ended up with these two alternatives back in front of us. And now what the PDT is saying is if you put them in and include them, the analysis will show you that you can get there in the specs package if you adopt a more conservative approach, like a 50% FMSY approach. That's the analysis that you'll see. You know, that has to be in the document in order for us to make that choice. And so right now the question is to the SSC, now that you have two approaches you've already endorsed for 2013 to 15, take a look at these two and, you know, let us know in the next 2 to 3, you know, for the next 3 years, do we need to change direction? So that's where we're at with that. But I think the SSC advice still stands, and at some point before we do this again, I think the council's going to have that discussion about long-term strategies for the fishery.
Dave Gaisel.
Yeah, and I read all this stuff. There's a clear, to me, line of thought here from the lawyers involved that they don't think we have a reasonable range of alternatives, and they were kind enough to include scientific papers, which are always useful because then you can actually have some science to argue over. And I think I'll read a passage of one of the abstracts from Tyrell Link and Moose Daffield into the record, because I think it gets exactly to this point. And it is, because biological reference points are the benchmark against which fisheries management decisions are made, they should reflect the ecological realities faced by each species to the fullest extent possible. We suggest much broader consideration of more conservative biological reference points produced by explicitly incorporating predation mortality as a consequence of natural mortality to population models. Okay, fine enough. We've done that. It's right here. It is in our latest stock assessment. Based on assessment, this is a big difference here. We've already accounted for that. This is not a static M assessment. It's an age-structured assessment, an age-accounted, time-age variant M. And as such, it's already been taken out in the reference points. So I think if you want to include this option, that's fine, but it should come with a specific term of reference to the SSC to recalculate the biological reference points based on a static M for this option, because that's what this option is about. It assumes a static M. And that's going to give you a much higher reference point. And so in the end, you're going to come out probably close to the same. So, I mean, I have no problem with including this as long as it goes along with the caveat that you recalculate the reference points based on a static M. And I think when you see that, it's not going to be any different than the alternatives we have right now. It might actually be higher. I don't know. It might actually allow you to catch more fish. But to calculate it on the current assessment's reference points, that's two bites at the apple because the bite's already been taken. It's already been taken with how M has been calculated. And then to say we're going to apply this hockey stick approach on top of it, that's like double jeopardy. And so that I can't support. So I think that's a very important point that needs to be communicated to the SSC no matter what we do with this motion.
Matt McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's very important that we recognize that we're talking about two different things here. In one regard, we're looking at endpoints. In another regard, we're looking at how do we get to those endpoints. The court explicitly tasked us to develop an explicit method that engages with the forage needs of the ecosystem in assessing our ABC control rule. Now, if we happen to get there by accident through a different mean, I don't think we've met the court order. We may wind up at a place where the TAC is actually higher than where it is right now. But the important point is that we go through the means that the court tasked us to do that. I think putting this forward is an important thing to get it to help us getting thinking along those lines for the long-term goals that Lori pointed out. But I also think it's important to recognize that New England also has a unique set of circumstances and that we can't just cookie-cutter this Lenfest control rule into the New England circumstances. We should put it forward to the SSC as a model by which they can consider developing one that's unique and particular to what we have, what we face here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
David Pierce.
Well, Lori has indicated in her presentation that we have hugely different reference points and for very good reasons because, as indicated by the plan development team that did very good work on this issue, the most recent assessment has used time-varying natural mortality in the assessment to account for predator removals. I could go on, but David Gethel really made all my points. It's a court order to put in another option. That's okay, I suppose. We're obliged to put it in. I don't think the court had any clue as to the nature of the assessment that was recently completed and the implications we got in the forage base. I mean, the reference points are hugely different because we are now accounting for predation in a very meaningful and responsible way. So to go beyond that, to reduce catch even more, seems to be excessively cautious. The job has been done through good and creative work by the assessment scientists. So I'll put it in, I'll vote for the motion, but frankly, what do we get from the SSC beyond a repetition of what the plan development team has just told us? I mean, the SSC will go to the staff and ask what the plan development team's thoughts were. The thoughts have been clearly provided to us, so I don't see where this leads us in the end result. I don't see it getting us anything more than okay, fine. We'll apply with the court order and put another option in. But so enough said.
John Bullard.
As I said, I'm interested in adding the other option, but before doing that, I would be interested in Gene Martin's thoughts on how important it is to strengthen our case on the court order.
Well, as you suggested, I think it makes for a more robust analysis to have a couple of alternatives that specifically deal with the forage aspect of this fishery. Having said that, I don't want to suggest that it's a fatal flaw if you don't. The council would be adding at least one control rule that's based on on best scientific information, as the court put it, for setting ABC control rules for herring and other forage fish. So I think it's always better to have a more robust analysis of these things, and I would support the council putting that in terms of legalities. It's not a fatal flaw if we only go with one rather than two.
Well, I would move to add after Lenfest hockey stick control rule. And Pacific Coast control rule.
Is there a second? Tom Dempsey. Did you second? You second? Okay. I'm just going to finish up the list, and this may result in some new people wanting to comment. Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with a lot of the comments that have been made. I think that what David Gaethel said as far as implementing one of these control rules at this time is double counting. And I think if we were going to implement one, as Dave suggested, we would need to go back and actually do what it says, which is a static M, and then set the different reference points. And to do that, we would need to have an amendment to the plan to change reference points. And I don't think we're going to be doing that in the specs process. However, we can go to the SSC and have them look at these processes, these different alternatives, and provide us some advice which might inform us for having a long-term strategy and planning for that. And I think because of the court order, we do need to have a description of all of that in the spec package. What the plan development team suggested also was that we could be more conservative, and as they described it, as a very ad hoc. It's not trying to implement one of these and saying we're going to do a 50% MSY, although I don't disagree with what Lori said. I would just characterize that discussion a little differently. And they said you could implement, you know, a 50% MSY or FMSY, but it would be an ad hoc decision by the council, not based on implementing one of these control rules, because to do that, we need to change the reference points. So it's a very convoluted process we're sort of going through here. It's unfortunate that, we have a court telling us that we need to consider control rules for forage. Well, what's the point of doing that? Well, the point is taking forage into account. And we have a process that already did that that doesn't include the control rule. And I think the Science Center feels that's quite robust. So, I mean, we can do sort of a funky thing because the court told us to do that, and they don't really understand anything about forage and control rules in the first place, just because we need to. But it's a crazy process. We're going to do it, I guess.
Terry Stockwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was originally going to provide some additional rationale to Doug's justification on the committee's recommendation and motion last week, but instead I'm going to speak against the motion to amend. And that's not because I oppose where we might be going with this, but what I do oppose is the additional workload, what I've repetitively been said around the table, what I consider double counting, recommendation from the PDT that this is a long-term issue, advice that the committee received that we only needed one additional ABC control rule to satisfy the court order. We're trying to get a spec package out now. If we're going to look at a long-term, a different way of doing herring management, it needs to be done in an amendment.
Matt, did you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to be careful. We're assuming that using a more informed, sophisticated understanding of herring as a forage in the Gulf of Maine ecosystem, in our region's ecosystem, that we're assuming that's going to add to more reductions in the allowable catch. We don't know that. What the court is challenging us to do is to make these assessments based upon a scientific procedure. A stock assessment and an ABC control rule are different things, and I think the court is challenging us to make sure we get our ducks in a row regarding how we determine how to move forward, not just what that number ultimately is. Thank you, Chairman.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And maybe there's a way to make a lot of people more happy and more comfortable with this approach. I understand Terry's concerns of trying to cram too much in the specifications package and too much analysis. I actually don't think we're giving ourselves as much time as the court gave us. We have a year to do this. The next motion that we're dealing with sets up a framework which could also consider an ABC control rule. I think a lot of people have some reservations that we're just trying to jam too much through the specifications. Fair enough. I think we could take specifications out of this this motion and say we're going to consider, you know, we're going to continue on with the specifications that we have now. As many people have highlighted, Lori has highlighted, they get you basically to the same place. We're tasking the SSC to look at this in a more comprehensive way, to look at both the relevant examples that we have, and maybe to also see what comes out of the risk policy meeting in March, and then to feed this into the framework. We have a year to do this, and I think everybody's highlighted the fact that this is a long-term management decision, not a specifications package management decision. So perhaps John would be willing to take a friendly amendment if that would work, and maybe we can liberalize this and try to approach this through a framework and take a longer-term approach to the consideration of these forage and ecosystem issues and still meet the court's mandate and our overall management objectives.
Were you suggesting what the friendly might be?
Yes, I think you could, after evaluation, for evaluation and consideration in the development of an alternative ABC control rule to be included in the next appropriate action or to be included in the framework.
Our concern is whether or not this approach, although you know it has some attractiveness to it, whether it would actually solve our issue in terms of meeting the requirement of the court, and we don't think it does. But I'll let Carrie speak to that.
So you're correct. The court didn't specify the vehicle for what this analysis has to be in. So it could be in the specs or it could be in a framework. The issue is we need a completed NEPA analysis by August 2013. And for a framework, we need a two-meeting process. We're considering it November and January if you do go down the framework road. And with the specs, it would be final decision in January. So your timelines are the same, whether it's in a companion framework or if it's in the specs. Waiting until March, you talked about a risk analysis meeting. I think that would be too late in order to allow us to meet the August deadline. We need a completed NEPA analysis by August.
John, let me ask you, are you going to accept that as a friendly amendment or not? He did. He put it up. And he...
Yeah, I don't think we can accept it as a friendly amendment because it doesn't meet the timeline. So.
Tom?
Just to follow up on that point, and certainly sensitive to the timeline, but the fundamental premise of the ruling is that we fully consider incorporating these things. If we're going to ram it you quickly through with specifications, we're not only meeting the timeline or not. I mean, a lot of people have made the case that we're not actually fully considering these. I mean, these things take time. I don't think, as somebody made the point earlier, I don't think we're just going to drop one of these alternatives in, plug herring numbers into it, and spit out a control rule. I mean, the SSC is going to need to grapple with some of these concepts in here. And so to actually fully meet the court's order of considering these types of things, considering a different approach, I think we need to give ourselves and the SSC some time to do that.
Okay. At this point, we have the motion as amended. I'm going to take Mark and then Laurie, then I'm going to go to the audience.
I have a question for the maker of the motion. Just the word evaluation there. With regard to the idea that there may be double counting involved, is this evaluation by the SSC going to include a determination as to whether these two control rules proposed by Earth Justice can be validly applicable to the current reference points as they've been determined, since they already factor in some notion of natural mortality or predation?
That motion was just the PDT motion.
Okay, I'll redirect that then to the PDT. Does that, the idea of evaluation, is that evaluating the control rule itself, or whether that control rule can be validly applied to the current assessments?
The way that the PDT has been approaching this, at least for now, is we're doing a 3-year specs package. So we're looking at what's going to happen in 2013, 14, and 15. We looked at these two alternatives and viewed them as long-term strategies, because they lay out, basically, they lay out rules that you follow under varying stock conditions and things like that. So they're more long-term. The PDT essentially said, well, for 2013 to 15, we could, if one of these alternatives is supported or adopted, that essentially equates to a 50% FMSY, given where we are with the stock. So we can get there in 2013 to 15, but adopting this as a long-term strategy is something different. We suggested the SSC evaluate it for 2013 to 15, because that's what we're doing right now, is the specs package. The SSC has already given us, they've already endorsed 75% FMSY, and they've already endorsed a constant catch for 2013, 14, and 15. They said either one of these approaches you're going to be, we find acceptable for the next 3 years. So the PDT's question, or the PDT's advice is, well, bring these in as alternatives, and let's see if the SSC evaluates them and thinks, given that they've already endorsed these other two alternatives for the next 3 years, we need to know whether or not the SSC would recommend in 13, 14, and 15 changing course and going with one of these other two alternatives. So the PDT was looking at it more from, let the SSC comment on them for 2013, 14, and 15, in the context of what they've already endorsed. And if we come back, I mean, if this motion carries, this goes to the SSC, these become two more alternatives in the document, but we have a preferred alternative. So the SSC next week would have to evaluate these two alternatives for 2013, 14, 15 in the context of what we already have as a preferred alternative. Long-term issues are not for the specs package. That may be what comes out of the SSC, and that's also what came out of the PDT. But putting it into the specs package and beginning this process and starting this analysis lays all the groundwork for doing this in the long term. So even if the analysis comes back and tells you The SSC may come back and still say, you're good to go for 2013, 14, 15. These are long-term approaches, but at least the analysis in here, it might come back and say, you can't do this in the specs. You need an amendment. But there you go. I mean, at least the analysis is in here. It was considered, and now the groundwork is laid for long-term actions. Things that aren't adopted in the specs, that doesn't mean we're never going to consider them again. So putting them in here and starting the ball rolling and getting the groundwork on this done on this kind of stuff is just going to build a foundation for the long-term stuff that we're going to have to deal with.
Paul Howard, then I'm going to go to the audience.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gene, what about rolling over the 2012 specs and doing 2000 by June, in June of 2013, voting 2014 and 15 specs along with a new ABC control rule. So we'll have it all done. And we'll have we have months more to do it.
Well, I'm not sure how all the dynamics of that work out. It works out in the timing. Is it possible to do that?
If the timing was August, we'll be done in June. Voting in June, we can't get.
The document has to be finished, submitted, reviewed, approved, and going to proposed rule by August. So June decisions, we usually maybe do a first submission in August.
I'll go to the audience. Any comments? Roger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger Fleming, Earth Justice. We would generally speak in support of this motion. We think it's the right thing to do to send a couple of alternatives to the SSC. There have been a lot of great points made. I mean, Lori made great points about developing long-term management strategies, and I think that that's what the plaintiffs really want here, is they want the council to take a serious look at how to set the appropriate ABC control rule for the long-term best management of this fishery. Paul made a great point, too. That would be better informed if we had more information from the council fed into the process about the type of risk that the council would be willing to accept. I think that friendly amendment would have made a big difference. I think that it's clear that from the court order that this could be done in either the specifications package or another action to be completed within a year. And I guess it's hard for me to understand why the NEPA analysis for this one small piece of it would hold that up. I mean, I'm afraid that you may have laid the record for the flip side here, which is that you're not actually considering these alternatives. You're going through the motions of potentially satisfying a court order, and I'm just not sure that that's really going to pass, muster as compared to, I think from our perspective, the most important piece of this is seriously considering, the best rule for managing this fishery going forward. Possibly you can revisit this decision at the next council meeting after the SSC looks at it and stretch it out, because I really, maybe Lori's comments said that that's not going to be possible with the type of analysis that's going to be done. But, nobody here is trying to double count. What we're trying to do is set this fishery up for the best management going forward. And, again, the best way to do that, I think, I'm convinced at this point, is to look at this over the course of a year. Thank you.
Anyone else? Patrick.
Thank you, Rep. Patrick Paquette. I'm a recreational fishing advocate from Massachusetts. And I just wanted to point something out, observe both the Herring Committee meeting and this meeting today. And I also, two of the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, I have relations with and represent in organizations. And I just wanted to point out that, so during the Herring Committee meeting, there was a statement made, and I have it written at home, but it was, the gist of it was, we're just trying to meet the terms of the lawsuit. I also attended the SSC meeting, and the SSC clearly, there was a discussion for a couple of minutes where the SSC talked about that they would like to take a bite at this apple and discuss and not be handcuffed. As a matter of fact, there was a statement in there, but if they would just ask us, and that was the one here in Rhode Island, that SSC meeting. And so I'm sitting here today, and I'm just listening, and it sure sounds like, instead of just, like, maybe, just maybe, maybe the judge and the plaintiffs do have an idea of what's going on, and just maybe, if we just let the SSC do their job and really wrestle with the ability to figure out what's the best way to come up with a control rule for this fishery, everybody might come up to some benefit. Like, it might not be this big boogeyman in the room, and it's just, right now, it sure looks like nobody wants the SSC to get to just have a discussion about what's the right way to have a control rule in this fishery. At least that's what it sounds like for me watching. Now, this is the third meeting, and it's just, you just really should think about that. I think you guys are, like, getting caught up in the fear of the legal bit of it instead of just letting the process as it lays out work.
Anyone else in the audience? Judd?
Judd Crawford, Pew Environment Group. Thank you. I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments. I was at the SSC meeting on September 12th when this issue was discussed the first time, the issue of the control rule, and at least some of the SSC members, I think, were quite clear that they don't really have a control rule now. A control rule is a set of guidance that helps management establish appropriate catch levels under a wide range of stock conditions. We happen to be in a situation now where Atlantic herring seems to be quite strong based on the recent assessment. Adoption of the kind of control rules that Lori reviewed for you and that you've been talking about in the Earth Justice letter would really have no consequence right now. The stock is strong. The catches would stay about where they are. But their value is in trying to lay down a set of science-based guidance about how you would adjust catches under situations where the population changes. The population is high now. It will go down at other times in the future, as stocks always do. They go up and down. And there's a lot of new science about how to govern a stock like Atlantic herring that is so important in the ecosystem. And this is the time when you should be trying to put those kinds of rules in place, because it's not going to make a big difference right now. Things are going to be good for a few years. I think that's a pretty safe thing to say. This is the time to grapple with, well, what are we going to do when the stock does come down and when there's not enough forage out there? How are we going to adjust our catch levels? And that's what a control rule is for. And there's been a lot of attention to how to design these things, and I think you have a lot of expertise on your SSC that could help move this forward. So I see this as an opportunity, and I hope you will treat it that way. Thanks.
Anyone else in the audience? Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. I'm Jeff Kalin with Lunch Fisheries. I guess this is inevitable. I certainly remember the Lenfest hockey stick control rule specifically being talked about by Mike Sissonwein when they met. I think our biggest problem here is the delays in the specifications. We certainly don't want to see any further delays. We're not going to have the opportunity to have any additional fish in the winter fishery this year. So I think it's disappointing that we're being managed by law court outcomes, but that's clearly where we are. I don't want to sound bitter, but I'm not happy. That's for sure. So, thank you. Bye.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to support the proposed amendment for all the rationale that Terry Stockwell laid out. And, you know, and listening to some of the public comments, I think that they really do support taking a long-term approach here. And delaying the specifications at this particular point is a disservice to the industry for a stock that is described at times as being at carrying capacity. We do not have a stock issue. We have the latest in consideration of forage in our assessment. We are in good shape. We are considering forage. We need to meet the court mandate. Let's do that, and let's move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is I listened to Jeff's concern, and I ask myself, in 3 years, are we going to be regulating this industry by court fiat again? We're in a good situation. This is the time to set things up and rationalize the way we manage this fishery. The court has tasked us to take a longer-term view, to look at this from an ecosystem-based approach, if you will. That's my interpretation of the court's order, not the court's. But we've got to do this work anyway. So why not do it now? Why not remove this variable? Why not remove this unknown from future management questions? I think this is the time to start tackling the issue of how to manage this, these all our fisheries resources in this region from an ecosystem-based approach. It's one of our council priorities for 2012. This is a great place to start it. It's a great time to start it. I don't want Mr. Cowan to be up here frustrated again in 3 years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, I call people's attention to the PDT document 4, pages 2 and 3, specifically the paragraph that begins on the bottom of page 2 and concludes in the middle of page 3, which is the textual description. But look at the chart, table 1, with the stock assessment we have now versus the constant M. And then I'd like to have Lori walk us through what is frameworkable, what is got to be in an amendment, so I can decide how to vote on this. I mean, if this results in us having to do an amendment in order to change the control rule, then I don't think I can vote for it, because I don't think it can go in this package. So could you do that for me, Lori, and again explain to people, you know, how we're going to recalculate these things if we pass this motion?
Well, yeah, it's not a simple question. The table here shows you in the last herring stock assessment what the difference would be if you applied a static M versus a time-bearing M in this last assessment, and you do see obviously hugely different results. And the idea was just to illustrate that it makes a big difference and that we need to take these two approaches and evaluate how things would change if you applied the herring assessment to them. In terms of adopting either of these particular approaches for the long term, I think that it would require an amendment because you'd have to change all of your reference points. And it's not one of these approaches uses, virgin stock biomass as one reference point. There's a B40% or something like that. So they're not even the same. They're not BMSY reference points and things like that. So it would need to go through, you know, some sort of a peer review kind of assessment with the evaluation of varying approaches to develop a long-term strategy. That doesn't mean that we cannot adopt these alternatives in the specs package and begin the analysis. And I think what the analysis will show is what needs to be done in an amendment to implement these long-term strategies. In the meantime, however, I mean, you just look at the Pacific rule. The Pacific rule, I don't have it in the actual PDT report, it's just a formula. All the Pacific rule is it's a constant F. We're using a constant catch. The Pacific rule is a constant F, and you just set your F really conservatively, and in part of that formula, you actually put in a buffer for forage. So under that alternative in the specs, we would essentially just adopt a constant F approach that is more conservative to further account for forage. I mean, you just, all the Pacific rule, adopting that in the specs means we're going to take our current numbers and we're going to crank them down more, and we're going to identify a specific buffer that we're going to identify for further forage considerations. So you can, that's how you accomplish it in the specs, and I think that's what the analysis will show you. We'll walk through these two approaches, given where we are now, and show you, if you want to do this in the next 3 years, here's where you're going to set your F to kind of get there. But the analysis will also show this needs to be reevaluated under these kinds of assumptions. We need to go back and reevaluate M, and it'll show for a long-term approach what needs to be done. I think all of that will need to be done in an amendment. However, it'll tell you where you can set your F at now for the next 3 years if you want to be more conservative for forage. The PDT's already said, you know, we think the assessment does a very good job accounting for forage, and the SSC has supported that as well. And I don't know how the SSC is going to respond to these two particular alternatives for 2013 to 15, but the bottom line is that either one of these approaches can be adopted for 13 to 15 simply by being more conservative. So that's the choice that will be made when the analysis comes out in February.
All right. Well, I just want, what I'm really concerned with is if this motion gets voted up, that the SSC get instructions that are clear enough to make sure that things are calculated so that they understand, you know, the difference between, I know they understand the difference between the two models, but that they calculate a whole other set of numbers based on each model. I mean, these produce very different numbers. They may end up ultimately at the same place. One is adoptable through the process we're in now, and one is adoptable through an amendment. And I think that's, and then the other alternative is to do what Laurie said, which is to set an F that equates to that number and do it through the specification package in the framework. But that's kind of a hybrid fudge factor type of thing. That isn't really doing it with the right ABC control rules. So I'm really very uncomfortable where we are at the moment with this motion.
Tom Dempsey.
Thanks, Rip. I just wanted to sort of take a little bit of a different look at this. We're going to send one of these options to the SSC because evaluating the pros and cons of these complex models is what we have an SSC there to do. And by sending one and not both, or by restricting them in some way, we're basically taking on part of their responsibilities. I can't tell you which of these would work out better from anyone's perspective. That's what the SSC is there to do. Evaluate the pros and cons, the consequences. So I really don't see including these two and having them, take a hard look at both of them. I just don't see that as anything but a positive for the process and for where we ultimately end up with this. So I support this motion.
Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The SSC is meeting Monday, and we've communicated with them. They have 3 hours to look at. We've given them a heads up about this issue, saying it might change depending on the council vote, but they are meeting to look at this new ABC control rule, one or both, on Monday. And in terms of will they look at biological reference point, my opinion, I'll let Chris answer this, but my opinion, SSCs don't look at biological reference points. We get those from the assessments. They look at ABC, and I don't see why they couldn't come up with the same ABC.
Just to David's point, Laurie, as the information that's being sent to the SSC includes the PDT report, which has the PDT's evaluation of the fact that we have already taken into consideration non-static natural mortality and the concerns that the PDT had with the fact that these two control rules are based on a static natural mortality. And so they will be aware of that concern. At least they'll have the documents that state that, correct?
Yeah. Yes, the SSC will have all of the documentation you have in front of you. The SSC isn't going to do any analysis. They're not going to crunch numbers. They're not going to come up with new reference points. The SSC has already endorsed for 2013 to 15 both 75% FMSY and constant catch. So the question to the SSC is, if these two alternatives are put on the table for 2013 to 15, they essentially, you're looking at around a 50% FMSY under either of these two alternatives or something more conservative. So the question for the SSC is, given the endorsement of 75% FMSY and constant catch, do you see a need, would you change your recommendation for 2013 to 15, given the status of the stock? Would you recommend one of these two alternatives for 2013 to 15 versus what you've already recommended? That's essentially the question. My anticipation, well, no, I better not even say that. Never mind. Whatever comes out, comes out. But I think that the analysis will be the discussion with the SSC, the information that's provided in the two, and sort of just assimilating all of this into the document to lay out what the issues are. It's okay, like I said, it's okay if the analysis shows you that you can't do this in the specs package. At least it's in there and you've done the analysis and you know how to move forward at that point. The question for the SSC is, do we need to change course for 2013 to 15 given what you've already endorsed? Now, once the SSC answers that question, they may have a lot to say about long-term strategies and about these two alternatives and other alternatives. And I think all of that, again, is just beneficial for us to get that discussion rolling now so that it's in the record and we can move forward when the time comes to have a more, you know, a broader discussion of the long-term issues. But, you know, that's the thing. I'm a little concerned about the SSC meeting next week because I'm focused on getting the specs package done. And the question that we have for the SSC right now is ABC for 2013 to 15. We have a recommendation. Do we need a different recommendation? So that's question number one. And from answering that question and all of the discussion that comes in answering that question, I think we'll have a lot to think about for long-term management approaches.
I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the motion to amend, so indicate. No, I got it. No, sorry. Again. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. You're correct. 11 in favor. Opposed? One, two, three. Six opposed. Abstention? Zero. Motion carries 11-6-0. Okay, we're on the main motion as amended. Further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, 13 in favor. Opposed? One, two, three, four. Abstention? Okay. 13-4-0, the motion carries. Doug, do you think you have, is this next motion of the same length that we think? Or should we take a break beforehand?
It doesn't, the Pierce rule does not apply to this motion, but I think we could take a break.
Okay, we'll take a 10-minute break back at 5-4.
Karen, can you put motion number two up? This motion came as a result of desire, some input from the advisory panel that indicated that they would like to have the option for seasonal splits in some areas. So this is a committee motion that the council initiate a framework adjustment to establish the mechanism to allow for seasonal splits of sub-ACLs. This would be a parallel action with the 2013-2015 specifications package.
That's a committee motion. No second required. Discussion, Paul Howard.
Mr. Chairman, as a matter of process, I would recommend that this be added to the list for tomorrow's discussion as item number five on the hearing. There are four other items under hearing that there's no way you're going to get them completed. So this will be five, and there's no sense in voting this up without looking at the total package for hearing, in my opinion.
I'm just trying to think about how we would, I mean, it would have to be, since it's a committee motion, you'd have to have somebody make an amendment to it to that the council consider initiating a framework adjustment under the priorities discussion.
Can I amend? Do you want me to amend it that way? Can I do that?
I'm only making a suggestion. If somebody does it, that's.
I think Lori might have some rationale behind this. We had some discussion at the committee about this from a logistics standpoint and a timing framework work committee workload and staff workload, too.
Lori.
Well, the idea behind this is that it is a framework just to do this. If you just look at it as a framework to just allow us to do seasonal splits, that's it. The decision will be made at the January council meeting, and it's done. So it's not another action for next year. It's part of the specs package. It's just that in order to allow it to happen, the specs package also has to be a framework adjustment to the plan. So the idea is that we just move forward with one document, the specs package, and submit it with, a preferred alternative to allow for seasonal splits. The only thing that has to be, how do you analyze something that says you're allowed to do seasonal splits? That's a pretty easy analysis. It's just a mechanism to let us do it. The splits are analyzed in the specifications package. So the only thing the framework does is propose that we allow splits. So the idea is just to tack that into the specs package, submit it as one action with the analysis of the splits in the specs, and then let NIMS go through rulemaking. Rulemaking is different for specifications versus a framework adjustment. That's why it has to be two separate processes once it's submitted to the regional office. But it's one document. So this is essentially the first framework meeting today, if this motion were to pass. And when we make final decisions, the framework's done. Now, where you run into problems is if you start adding things to this framework. But right now, just doing a framework that says we're going to allow splits, that's it. It's done. So if we take that approach and if this is a standalone single action framework, I'm not sure it falls into the priority discussion because it just runs parallel with the specs, although the specs are one of the priorities, but will presumably be done in January. If things get added into this framework or if the framework gets more complicated, then you might want to start talking about the priorities. That was sort of the take we had at the committee meeting, is that this is really just a regulatory mechanism and nothing, and no action with specific impacts.
Thank you for that explanation. I'm going to let it go as it stands. Anybody on the council want to make a comment on this? Go to the audience. Back to the council. call the question. All those in favor, so indicate. Seventeen, unanimous. Doug.
Excuse me. We have a third motion. That motion is that the council include consideration of allowing sub-ACL rollovers of up to 10% in the herring fishery as part of the parallel framework adjustment to modify the specifications. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing. But so I think there was discussion on at the committee on the workload involved with this.
Can you clarify any of this for us?
Well, here's your add-ons. So this is add-on number one to the framework. This is where, you know, and this is something that we talked about at the committee meeting, and I cautioned the committee a little bit. This is not simply implementing a mechanism. You know, this actually to say that quota underages are going to be rolled over into the following fishing year up to 10%. There's a lot of details, a lot more analysis that has to be done. So certainly if this is something to do in a framework adjustment, I think we have many framework adjustments we're talking about for herring under priorities. And, it, you know, I think there needs to be some thought given to whether or not this will change the intent, which is to keep the framework running in parallel with the specs and keep it to, you know, a simple kind of regulatory mechanism. This may be needed to be considered in a broader action.
Tom.
Understanding some of the workload issues, I actually see this as central to some of the things that we're discussing in the specifications with regards to AMs for this fishery, certainly with the sub-ACLs. We're struggling to for ACL, AMs and triggers that actually keep us from exceeding our sub-ACL. And so we're balancing how close we get to 100% full utilization of these sub-ACLs, which is the goal, and leaving some fish on the table or taking too much. And I think allowing for rollover of unused quota would allow the industry to say, okay, well, we can have a lower trigger because we understand that we're not going to leave fish on the table that we're never going to get back. And I think we've done this, used this approach effectively in a number of other fisheries. And I think I actually don't think, while I certainly don't understand the intricacies as well as perhaps Lori does, I think it can be done in this timeline, and I think it needs to be done to free us up to make some better decisions about in-season triggers for the sub-ACLs and the accountability measures.
If I can just interject, Lori, in terms of some of the other possible frameworks that are moving through, since this is a rollover that wouldn't affect something until now, the following year, you would still have, I mean, if it were included in one of the other frameworks, it'd still be time to get it done, wouldn't there, for that following year?
Well, I'm not, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously this provision wouldn't become effective until the year after it's implemented. The way that the committee approached the framework, the motion for the framework on splits, we recognize that the specs are going to be implemented in the middle or late 2013, so the idea is that the splits wouldn't apply until 2014. You can't retroactively apply seasonal splits in the middle of the fishing year. With this, if it were moved to another framework adjustment, I just don't know. I mean, we're considering frameworks for implementing industry-funded catch monitoring and river herring catch caps, and it's really hard to say what the timing on those is going to be. This is certainly a provision that could be considered in another action, but it's timing-wise, I'm not sure, you know, what people's priorities are or, you know, with respect to all of these other actions that we have to do for herring in the next year.
Paul Howard, then Matt, then Mary Beth.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I would say if you look at the other actions, they're much more controversial than perhaps this one is, so you wouldn't get it in place for a year, more than a year, 18 months minimum. River herring caps and industry-funded program, they're going to take a while.
Matt. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Tom described the rationale of the committee very well. This particular item is not add-on number one. It's the only add-on. There is no other proposed add-ons. And it is specific to our discussion of managing the sub-ACLs and the AMs considered in this spec package. So, and I also agree with Paul. The things that we're going to consider under priorities are very complex. And if we were to consider putting off this one item into another framework, it'll be several years before we have the ability to do this. And it does make a very big difference to our approach on how we manage to, you know, trying to get right to the 100% and using the 95% trigger or even a 92% trigger. On whether or not, you know, the industry has an opportunity to take the fish. So I made the motion at the committee and fully support the motion.
Anyone else on the council? Frank?
Yeah, seeing how it's, I know how we do it the following year and that. Lori, if you can follow me on this, I'll pick the year. If 2012, you underfish, you would be able, and in 2013, you overshot the quota. In 2014, you'd be able to add the underage from 2012, even though you had an overage in the prior year?
Yes, yeah, I don't know. We'd have to figure all that out. And one of the things you have to figure out is what data source are you going to use to determine the underages and the overages. If we are using the final catch tallies, then we're waiting that extra year. We're making changes in this specs process that we might go back to doing it. We might use a NIMS quota monitoring to do it, you know, in the following year. So I don't know. I mean, those are all factors that would have to be fleshed out. I really, honestly, have not given this one much thought because it came up at the committee meeting last week and until then hasn't really been talked about. So, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to do all the analysis of the ABC alternatives, the sub-ACL options, and the accountability measures for final decision-making in January. I haven't even begun to think about how to flesh out options for this yet or how to analyze them. But those are the kinds of things that we'd have to figure out.
Doug Grout.
And just for clarification on your question, with this motion, it was in parentheses we put that the intent is that the process for determining rollovers would be consistent with the AMs for the overage payback. So if we stay with a one-year delay on overage paybacks and something like this would apply 2 years later. But if we go to just one of the AMs that we're going to be considering here is to pay it back in the subsequent year, then this kind of a rollover would occur again in the subsequent year. So they'd be balanced off. It'd be one or the other, but not a mix and match.
George?
To the timing issue, no objection to the content of the motion, but as Lori said, what she's thinking of doing is having the specifications package and at least that the seasonal split run basically in the same time frame, although they'd be called separate documents and they'd both be submitted to us in the same time frame, and that's fine. But if adding this other motion to that slowed the specifications down, that would have to be split out and follow a different time schedule. These two motions that you're talking about here are not part of the court order, so they can take longer if they need to, but but the specifications package has to stay on track.
Just to Frank's point, I think it's a continuing source of frustration for me, too. We dealt with it on Yellowtail, where we have AMs that trigger multiple years later. I think that's frustrating for all of us, and it's baffling to me how in 2012 we don't know how many fish were caught at the end of the year, and we can't implement an AM the following year or a rollover. But that's the issue that needs to be addressed there. We need better and more timely data collection and reporting, and we need a mechanism by which the service can tell us whether we've gone over or under, or we nailed it. But that, I think, has very little to do with the content and intent of this motion and this approach, which is, if there is an underage, how are we going to do that? How are we going to handle that in a safe way? I continue to support this, but I agree with Frank. I think it's creating these cascading sets of AMs and rollovers multiple years after, after the initial event is problematic, and I think it needs to be addressed comprehensively.
Matt?
To follow up on Tom's point, I've been thinking about this. I think Frank makes a good point. I'm wondering if there's a way that – I think the only way this could work is if we have both AMs and rollovers immediately applicable to year two. So an overage in year one or an underage in year one would be immediately applied in year two, and there is an accountability measure on the being proposed that calls for account for overages to be deducted in that fashion. I wonder if we can bundle this as part of that accountability measure.
Anyone else? Go to the audience. Any comments? Okay. Back to the council. Doug, in terms of bundling it,
the point with that we made at the committee was that if you choose that, if this council chooses to include that AM, which would be changing the payback to the subsequent year, then this rollover would automatically apply to the subsequent year. If we don't choose that AM and we continue on with payback in the subsequent year, then the rollover would apply in the subsequent year.
If I may, Mr. Chairman. What I'm concerned about is having a situation where we've got syncopating overages and accountability measures coming in where they're not on the same schedule. I was just trying to simplify it to get it into industry's hands a little earlier. If it's going to be too complicated, I won't make a motion.
Further comment? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion? Fifteen in favor. Opposed? Two. 15 abstention? No, that's 17 voting. So 15-2-0. The motion carries. Doug.
And, Mr. Chairman, we do have a fourth motion. And this involves the accountability measures. The committee motion was that the council consider all the AM alternatives except for alternative 5C in the 2013-15 herring specifications package. And just as a side note, if we are going to include alternative 4 in there as a full council, we do need to address a couple pieces of critical information that we need to have in there. Because as it stands right now, alternative 4 doesn't have the information that needs to be included. Specifically, we're looking for the council to provide a trigger value and then an in-season adjustment that would occur as a result of that trigger being
So to get the order of things correct here, we would vote on putting all of these alternatives in, and then we'd go back and figure out what one of those alternatives actually is?
Either that, or we could discuss alternative four right now and decide whether we're going to be able to come up with something for alternative. But the committee motion is for everything but 5C, but just understand that one needs to be addressed by the council. The details need to be addressed.
Seems slightly more logical to do whatever you want to do with four, alternative four first, and then everybody knows what they're voting on when you're including all of those alternatives.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Laura, maybe we could throw up on the is there a possibility we could put that part of your presentation up on the screen there, which has alternative four? Okay, as I said, what we would need here is some kind of trigger value, whether it be at 70% or 80% of the TAC. Some kind of in-season adjustment would occur to something that would help slow the fishery. You know, some of the things that were ideas were brought up were, for example, having some kind of days out of the fishery. However, I will tell you that the advisory panel was opposed to that kind of a process, was very concerned about those things. But the thing I think they were looking at is something that might, if you hit a certain trigger, it would slow the catch somehow. One thing that was also brought up at a committee, just as an aside, that the regional office representative said didn't even need a management action, was that possibly at 70% or some value, the regional office would start putting up the daily reports of catch as opposed to adjusting in their quota monitoring system doing it on a weekly basis. And that would give the industry an idea of, a rough idea of how close they are getting to the 95% level in a more timely manner. But again, the thought was that that may not need any kind of management action. It could be something that potentially could just be done by the service.
George, can you comment on what your authority is to do that now?
We can do it now. I mean, it's just a question of posting the data daily to the website instead of weekly. I mean, it's additional workload, and we have to work through the details with our folks who do that. But we don't need any special authority to do that.
You don't need it necessarily this trigger level.
We don't need a council action to do it. If you want to give us some advice as to whether you'd like us to do it or how you'd like us to do it, that's fine, or whether we can just do it on our own.
Okay, thank you. I think maybe we'll go back to the motion, the committee motion, and see if somebody wants to make an amendment to it and then discuss that. Okay, the council consider all those. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to amend, and I would add alternative four. And if I get a second for this, I'll provide my rationale.
Is there a second? Doug Grau.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, there is not a lot of industry support. There's a broad range of other AMs in the document. It's a little bit of ambiguity in it to me. The industry didn't support some of the tools that were suggested for authority for the RA. I think we have there's enough in the document right now that we can go ahead without it.
Discussion, Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm in favor of this just because I don't see how it's going to work. As an example, the only thing I could see that they could, that anybody could really do is start shutting the fishery down for chunks of time while they calculate where they think they are, waiting for reports to come in and whatnot. So, you know, the fishery shuts down for a week, it opens for a day, it shuts down for a week, it opens for a day. I don't think that's a way to run a fishery. I think the other alternatives have a broad enough range in them that they could stand alone without this one even existing.
Mary Beth.
Well, this alternative was proposed by the regional office because of their concerns about managing the fishery when, you know, it is a volume fishery, and it's difficult when it gets towards the end, particularly in several areas we've had the issue. So I think we do need to address it. I think the industry's frustrated. I think the agency is frustrated as well in how it's working. And so my comments earlier about going back to sort of outreach with the industry, talking about what the issues are, what the industry needs to do better so that the agency can function better, and what the agency can do that would be better for all of us. And I think that's the discussion that really needs to happen. As Dave pointed out, you know, closing so that you can recalculate in the fall fishery, that's very difficult. And in the past, we ended up having to reopen. Well, that was a particularly bad weather night, but everybody went, and it took out, you know, somebody took a bad wave through the wheelhouse. And I mean, we just don't want those things to happen. And I do think, however, to really get where we need to be is a conversation that needs to take place with those people who do report, both dealers and vessels, with the agency and those people in the agency that do the calculating of those reports and try and work it out. And I think that's the only way we're going to get there. So I support the motion and moving forward with that process to see if we can't get it right.
Anyone else in the council? Or the audience? Roger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Roger Fleming, Earth Justice. You know, my comment is not specific to this amendment. It's to the main motion, but I wasn't sure if you're going to come back to the audience. So should I hold my comment, or can I make it quickly now? It's really a question, two questions.
You're there.
Okay, thank you. It wasn't clear to me from the slides, and maybe I'm just overlooking it, but I remembered from the committee discussion that alternatives would be considered to apply the in-season closures and the overage payback to the stock-wide ACL. Is that in the document and part of this motion?
Yes, all of the alternatives will include an option to apply to the stock-wide ACL.
Okay, thank you. We would support that, by the way.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Mary Beth.
I just want an additional thing, since I think you're going to move through these votes simultaneously. But originally I did not support the original motion because alternative 5C was proposed by me. It did go down in flames in Amendment 4, which is why it's back. And so I voted against that at the committee meeting. But this is an amended motion, so I'll reconsider my previous vote.
Anyone else on the council? Call the question. All those in favor of the motion to amend. 16 in favor. Opposed. Abstention. 16-01. The motion to amend carries. We're on the main motion as amended. Further discussion. Call the question. All those in favor of the main motion. 17, unanimous. Doug?
I have nothing else, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And thank you, Lori, for your work on this. That brings us to the public listening session. 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 Public listening set, 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 public listening set,